Rump steak. Purged aubergine.
Yes.
Egg. Frittata. Ah, trick question. That's an asthmatic rattlesnake. Okay. Vinyl.
What's cooking on 95BFM?
Now, they're all in separate parts of America, all on different lines of varying quality. Right. So,
well, they actually offered that option of doing it via a clean feed or a Skype or something like that.
Now, I actually phoned a number and was put directly to them all. It was very strange. It was like a phone number and a PIN. And hey presto, I was on the line with Krungbin and they were talking about what they were having for dinner. And I was like, what? What's going on? Am I eavesdropping on them in a private conversation or is this another interview? And then they're like, hello, is somebody there? And I was like, oh, yes, it's me here, John from New Zealand. And I asked them a little bit about the history of the band and sort of heaps of stuff. This is what it sounded like.
How did you guys form?
So we formed in 1970. No, I'm just kidding. We were basically just hanging out, and Mark and I played at the same church for a long time. We would go out after rehearsals and just kind of hang out. And Laura started coming to the spot that we were going to, crashed it 1 week, and she just kept showing up week after week, and we all just kept hanging out. And eventually we started a band with the name that no one could pronounce. And
we called it that because we was like, you know, let's just call it what we want. No one's going to care. It's not like we're going to become big anyway. You know, who cares what we call the band? And that's real talk.
I was just going to say, the only rule was that we wanted to have a name that didn't have a website taken.
Yeah.
How's my pronunciation? Krungbin? Krungbin?
Beautiful.
Sounds good to me.
Okay, sweet. Okay, good, good. Has it been an interesting ride? Because it does seem like it has kicked off for you guys. You've sort of reached a level of success, you know, quite quickly.
Huh.
Quick is relative to when you start watching whatever started. But for us, it's been a long ride. I said since 2011, we've been at it and working very hard. So, granted, the ascension has been exponential within the last few years, but yeah, we've been at it for a long time, and we're happy everyone's along for the ride.
A lot of what I've read about you guys mentions the barn in Burton in Texas. How much of your rehearsal has taken place at the barn?
John, the barn isn't really for like rehearsing songs. Mm-hmm. You know, when we get ready to go on tour, we actually have to like rent out a venue so that we can run the lights, run the sound, run the show as it's going to be on the tour. As far as like our own personal practice time, like I need to spend time like making sure that I can play these parts. I need to make sure that I can sing what I need to sing while playing these parts. That's stuff that happens, you know, on our own. And then we come together into whichever venue that is, wherever the launching point is of the tour. And then we run the set a few times and then we hit the road.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, the barn is like where we write, and it's like the home of that part of our process, more so than anything else. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Was it used to for writing and recording before you guys set it up for that?
No, I mean, it was just a barn. It's still just a barn. Dirt floors.
It's still just a barn.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not insulated. It's not a studio at all. It's a barn that was used to hold tractors, and then Mark's family got cows, and so it was just a shell. And in the early days of Krungbin, when we wanted to write music, it was free and it, you know, it provides a certain escape from the everyday busyness of the city. So but it's on Mark's family's property, so it's just a Krungbin barn.
Has everything you've recorded been recorded in the bar?
I'd say 99% of it. Yeah. As far as like the basic tracks, right? So drums, bass, and guitar always recorded in the barn. I think there's maybe two songs that have been released where it wasn't recorded in the barn. I'm not going to admit what those are because it's much more fun for the audience to figure out for themselves. But everything gets recorded in the barn first, and then we take those recordings in Houston and we do keyboard overdubs or, you know, the vocals or the percussion or guests or stuff like that. But the drums, bass, guitar, the meat of the songs themselves are recorded in the barn. And anything else we record should be able to be removed and not, you know, be missed. I guess if that's the vocal.
Now, earlier this year, you put out an EP with Leon Bridges. How did that come around?
We were on tour with him at the end of 2018. And we had come out of a recording session where we were just getting some ideas down. And one of the songs we'd recorded seemed really fitting for a vocalist. And we were on tour with him and sent him the song. And he sent us the song back like 24 hours later with vocals on top. And so we wanted to go to the studio, record that song and record like a B-side and put out a single. But, you know, record labels heard what we did and decided to push for more. So we found any 1 or 2 days off last year where Leon and Krungbin were off the road and went to Houston to record that.
Did it act as inspiration for vocals appearing on the new record?
No, I don't think so. I mean, I think that it certainly challenged us in a different way when we made that record and probably set us up more for success on this round. But nothing is premeditated when it comes to the music we make.
Mark, how has having vocals on the new record affected your playing and using the guitar as sort of the vocal?
I mean, I don't know. I just like melodies. Like, I don't really care who sings it or who plays it.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like some of our fans are going to be like, oh, man, I wish it was the guitar. I'm like, okay, cool, I appreciate that. But they're like, man, they mixed Mark's guitar so low. I'm like, who do you think mixed this album? Like, you know, we did this. Like, I don't feel put out because I don't get to, like, riff on every song. You know, in fact, I feel like I'm ripping pretty seriously throughout the whole record, even if it's not like the only, you know, melodic element happening in that register.
Yes.
You know? But yeah, I think a lot of the vocals ended up being the way they are and where they are because of how I played it when we recorded the bar.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I didn't play a whole bunch of melodies. That's just not what I was doing that day. I was playing more rhythm. I like playing rhythm. So we fit the vocals where we needed melody to be.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
The two singles I've heard from the new record definitely feel slightly funkier. What has inspired that shift in sound?
I think we've always been funky, but I think, you know, the sort of dancier quality to those songs has probably come from us being together on the road a lot and listening to dance music backstage, you know, before we're going on. Whereas, you know, maybe in the early days of Krungbin, we weren't necessarily hanging out listening to dance music.
Mm.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I haven't had the opportunity to see you perform live, but it certainly feels like what you play can be adjusted to the audience. It seems like you can play to the crowd with the style of music that you guys perform.
Oh yeah, that's definitely something that we always try to do. We play to the room, and here lately we've been fortunate enough to play large audiences, large venues, and also occasionally some living room type settings with a small number of people. So the sound's able to accommodate different sizes of audiences and rooms, because, you know, like I said, we play to the room. We're really big on dynamics and listening to each other and listening to what the song wants in the moment. You can't approach every performance or, you know, every song the same way. There always has to be some kind of a knowledge of where you are, particularly like if you're playing somewhere with a low ceiling. You don't have to play as, you don't have to dig in as much and play as loud, because the sound has really nowhere to go. Mm. Versus if you're playing outside, big open amphitheater or whatever, you can kind of fill it up a little bit more. Mm.
I've watched the fantastic KEXP session that you guys did. What was that experience like?
It was fun. I remember that. I remember that day. A lot of times we were doing those types of recorded short performances at radio. Usually happens when you're on tour, on the road, and so it kind of interrupts your day-to-day thing a bit, because you may have to, you played a show late the night before, the bus drove all night, and you have to get up, you know, a little bit earlier to do a recording. But that one I remember was really cool. I remember the host, her name.
Is it Cheryl Waters?
Yeah, she was super, super nice and really gracious and welcomed us into the studio, made everything very comfortable, and that was fun.
Do you only have a couple of takes at each song, or is it just sort of a one-take situation?
One-take situation.
Yeah, one take.
You seem really dialed in. It's incredible. Like, what's impressive is just how measured and sort of in the zone you guys are when you play.
I think at that point we'd played pretty much every night for about a month or something.
Yeah, we were, like I said, that stuff, when it happens on the road, when you're playing a show every night, you're kind of a well-oiled machine when it's time to do that kind of stuff. So it's really a good time to do it, actually, because, you're geared up and ready to play it.
Yeah. We always talk about how there's, like, this sweet spot in performance. If you're, like, you want to be nervous enough, but also confident enough, there's like a sweet spot in the middle. And I think when you're on the road all the time, playing every night, you definitely have a confidence in your hands and, like, you know, muscle memory. But because you're recorded live in a studio and there's cameras on you, it kind of jumps up the nerves a little bit. Mm. So I kind of feel like those moments are really good.
I guess we should just talk about the new album for a bit. How did the creative and writing process kick off and work for, is it Mordecai?
Mordecai. We went to the barn in May of last year, late April, early May, and really didn't have anything written before we went in. And we had, I guess, like 2 or 3 weeks to record whatever music we were going to get for the album. It's always the Krungbin formula for a record. It's like whatever happens in the barn for that period of time is what's going on the record, you know, for better or for worse. And then for the first time, though, on this album, we had like 5 months before we went back into the studio. And that was just because we were on the road. But it allowed us to have some time away and digest the music before going back in.
Nice. I mean, obviously, things are sort of on the head at the moment, but do you know if you'll be out on the road again in the near future to support the album?
No idea. And then they're talking about, you know, reopening the country. And I'm like, okay, that's how you get a second wave. I'm going to let them do that, but I'm not getting on a plane. I'm not getting into a venue filled with thousands of people. And I'm pretty sure most people that are Criminal fans are smart enough to know they're probably not going to get into a venue to have thousands of people. I just find it very unlikely that everything's going to go right back to normal. I couldn't tell you when we're going to be back anyway.
Is this sort of time lending itself to more writing and recording, more sort of creative stuff at home for you guys?
Absolutely not. I have not been doing any of that at all. I've been making soup, trying to make bread, planting plants, going on hikes in the forest. Are you kidding me? I'm trying to play guitar right now? Like, no way.
I love how quick you said absolutely not. We've been grinding for 4 years, you know, like on the road and recording, and we just finished this album in January, and it was a huge creative, like taxing, but like beautiful, but taxing process. So I think we all needed a break. And when the world decided to press the pause button, I think all three of us have done that. I mean, it's important to take a step back from anything that you're making. And I think if we're sort of allowed this time to breathe, like, let's take it and then come back inspired, you know?
Fantastic. Yeah. And Air Krungbin, your playlist. Tell me a bit about that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we just launched a new website called Shelter. Well, it's a concept called Shelter in Space on Air Krung. And it's meant to make playlist for the listener based on activities that are happening indoors, such as cooking or, you know, reading or bedtime.
Having a bath, I saw.
Yeah, all of those things. So, we and our team work diligently on putting that together, and we're hoping that everyone that's checked it out is enjoying it so far. I thought it was really cool. I spent some time on it when we were in the early phases, and it's really cool. I enjoyed it. Mm. So.
I had a listen this morning, and it was fantastic.
Nice. Yeah, it started out as like a playlist generator based on a flight people would take, and you'd put your airport code in, like from and to, and it would get you a playlist for your trip, but it's not, you know, it doesn't feel like the right time to promote flights. So we sort of changed the brief for this time, and I think it's really sweet. And we needed a new overhaul on like the song selection that was in there. But it's a good way of connecting to our audience through listening to the same music.
Excellent. Hey, thank you very much. I look forward to listening to the new record, and sometime in the distant future when you're next on the road, hopefully, fingers crossed, we'll get to see you down here sometime.
Awesome.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Cheers. Bye.
Hi, this is Laura Lee from Krungbin, and you're tuned in to 95BFM.
Together, that's life.
That was What's Cooking on 95 BFM.